Good morning, everyone. Many of you may know me as Randy Shubin-Dresner of Island Harvest Food Bank. Well, today you will also get to know me as the host of Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. You can hear my show on Long Island's own WHLI 104.7 FM and wherever you pick up your podcasts. I'm so grateful for our sponsors, Pintel Coffee, which is the very best coffee around, and of course, Island Harvest Food Bank, Long Island's leading hunger relief organization. Don't we live in a very fast-paced community? We often don't take the time to stop and appreciate the world around us. When was the last time you actually took a minute to enjoy the bagels with your morning coffee? How about watching the sunrise at Jones Beach or sipping Long Island wine at the vineyards out east? We're going to take a few minutes today to just have a conversation and relax. And today we're going to dive into real estate in both the residential and commercial market spaces, renting, purchasing, and selling. Look, not everyone is ready to buy or sell at this moment in time, but I can assure you, the tips and information you'll hear today are worth listening to. At some point, you'll need to learn this information whether you're a buyer, seller, or a tenant renting living space, and you'll walk away from this conversation with important tips for today and tomorrow with today's guests. I'm excited to have our two guests here today. Michael Tucker is an associate broker with Daniel Gale Sotheby's International Realty and DGNY Commercial, a new company specializing in tenant representation, landlord representation, and real estate investment. Michael is also the president of the Long Island Food Council and leading the council's efforts to connect companies in the food and beverage industry, create more local jobs, and educate individuals who are interested in starting their own food and beverage-related businesses. Stephen Orlando is a licensed real estate salesperson with Exit Realty Premier. He is a four-time Silver Award winner and has been named Top 20 Under 40 by the National Association of Realtors Young Professionals Network. I'm honored to have them both here with us today. Both of them are incredible supporters of Island Harvest Food Bank. I'm excited to start our conversation. Let's talk about commercial and residential real estate. Stephen and Michael, let's jump right into this topic. This is an interesting time right now. The real estate market has just been going crazy for the past year. The prices are incredibly high. I know I've thought about it myself, but how do you know it's the right time to sell your home? Of course, we have to have a place to go as well, and that's something to think about. And there are a lot of other circumstances in our lives that help to dictate this. So, Stephen, let's start with you.
The right time to buy or sell is really based on that person. What might be right for someone is not right for another person. You might be in an apartment and the increased rent, and you're looking for more space, and that's the right time for you.
Okay.
You might be have a job change, and what was appropriate, living close to that job because you didn't want to commute. Now you don't mind because you're working from home 3 or 4 days a week. So if you have to go into the city 1 day a week, you'll take the extra hour to drive or take the train because it works better for your family life.
Right, for the rest of the time. How about you, Michael? What about in the commercial space?
So unlike residential, which is very kind of emotional decisions, in the commercial, it's really a business decision for most part. So business conditions, economics, are you expanding? I mean, COVID also changed the whole rules. People were exiting the city, so they were looking at it from a point of view of how they're going to perform the businesses going forward. So for commercial real estate, it's really an economic driver rather than an emotional driver. We do find some retail operations, small stores opening that is more emotional. But in the current times, it's really an economic decision.
Have you found, Michael, the industry right now? Island Harvest just bought a building, and the broker came back to me and said we could sell the building now for almost double what we bought it for. Is that what you're finding?
Only in certain. You bought a industrial building, a warehouse. So warehousing, as you see, when you read every day with Amazon opening up, they've now opening up. I think their third one here on Long Island. So warehousing has been strong for the last couple of years. What was interesting, though, during COVID, with all the restaurants closing, we're now getting a lot of calls all of a sudden now that restaurants are opening for restaurant space all across the island. And we've sold a few restaurants. There's some more restaurants opening. So it's really targeted specific. Retail is still struggling in a lot of places. Office, we don't know if anybody or when we're going to go back to the offices. So office space is limited, though they may be coming out from it. So like your building is a great building. I'm still getting calls on buildings from a year or 2 years ago. Is it available?
Right. It's incredible, really.
Yeah.
So Stephen, you know, choosing the right broker is really an important thing to think about. In your mind, you're the right broker, right? I know you are.
Always.
I've seen your work. But the truth is, how do people make that decision? We're oftentimes bombarded by brokers in both the commercial space and in residential. So what do you think?
The bulk of my business is from referrals. I do get some cold where people have, for instance, walked into an open house and met me there. But for the most part, it's a comfortability level of how you feel with that person. You're entrusting myself or someone on my team to go ahead and take care of your most valuable asset. From a buyer's perspective, there's the equal trust is that they're not going to be put in a situation where the home that they're buying is falling down. Can they trust you? The inspector, the attorney, there's so many different factors and people involved in a transaction where the trust really starts with the realtor. That the realtor is going to put you in the best position to either buy your home or sell your home. A lot of times sellers now are in a position where they think that they're pricing their home too low. The neighbor across the street got X amount of money. My house is so much nicer than theirs. It's the my job to kind of bring them down to let them understand that there's a finite formula for that.
Yeah.
And we're not just grasping at straws. We're comparing other houses. And sometimes people put a sentimental value on something that was done in the house, whether it was dad's workshop and he constructed the doors or he put the extension on and it's the same size extension that someone else has. So there's a value to that.
Right. I'd like to dive into how we price in a little while. You're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner on WHLI 104.7 FM. We're talking with Stephen Orlando, a licensed real estate salesperson, and Michael Tucker, an associate broker with Daniel Gale, Sotheby's International Realty. Michael, what do you say about that?
Well, I was going to ask Stephen, do you find the traditional routes of, you know, Little League, ball fields, meeting people, referrals, is it country club, or because of COVID, is it just strictly relationship? I mean, how do you meeting people now in this environment, you know, and connecting with them?
There's definitely challenges with COVID and your exposure or how you're getting out, but that the way that that's kind of transformed everything is social media really is driving how people are getting exposed. My mom got her real estate license in 1993. She advertised in a newspaper. That's her exposure. That's how she got out to everybody because that's how information was being disseminated. Now it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, all these other social media fields because that's how the bulk of the buyers, the millennials that are looking to purchase, that's how they're communicating. That's how they're getting the exposure.
So Michael, in commercial real estate, it's probably not using those platforms as much. What do you find?
Well, what's interesting is since I sit at both Daniel Gale and DGNY, I listen to what's going on in that social media world and how much it's influencing and people not even looking at houses, but seeing videos and seeing, and then just buying. And to me, that's a foreign concept without having to look at it. But what we're doing is actually on commercial is trying to take the best of what the residential world's doing and bring it over there because you're right, all the younger people are looking at properties that way, even locations, or during COVID they don't want to come out. So we've been getting into videoing places and doing stuff and putting it up on, you know, Instagram. Not so much TikTok, I still haven't figured that one out yet, but
yeah, right.
How do you dance and sell a property at the same time?
It works, it happens.
So I think it's actually interesting to talk a little bit about buying and selling. If I'm selling my house, I need to find another place to live. So on the residential side, I want to ask the question to you, Stephen. Have you worked with the same client on a sell and a buy?
Absolutely. Traditionally, we'll call it the pre-COVID era, you wouldn't think of ever going to look at a house until your house was sold. Traditionally, pre-COVID, you would put your house on the market, you would sell your house, and then you would go look for another house. And that always adds a whole different stress level of where we're going to find, are we going to settle? Now, because the houses are going so quickly, you buy your house first and then you sell your house, because the more hurdles you add, the more contingencies, it weakens your offer. And a lot of times that adds a different kind of stress, because now people, they have to get their house sold quickly, they have to price their house correctly. So we want to make sure that the people, and that's really what the trust factor is, that you have to trust that we're doing the right thing, we're proceeding at the right time, we're pricing our house correctly, and we didn't overbid on the house, and that they feel confident that the house they just accepted is going to go through.
You're listening to Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner with guests Stephen Orlando and Michael Tucker. So, Michael, how about in the commercial space? How often are you working with someone who's doing both a buying and a selling?
Mostly it's an investment opportunity. If they're selling, usually now we're seeing a lot of aging baby boomers that are starting to age out. More so, I think they sped up their retirement due to COVID, where they may have hung on a couple more years. And then people are worried about the tax issues. So for us, it's more like, if I'm selling my business, selling my property, what am I going to do with the money? They're not putting it into a place to live, because that's their home, or what you do on the residential side. So there's a lot more, again, we're back to the economics. So we do work with customers that may have been renting. They see now this opportunity, they look to buy. So we're more long-term, you know, relationship driven. So it's not a one-off transaction, because these companies, if they grow, you want to be able to grow with them. And then if they want to retire and they want to sell, then you look for opportunity to sell that and the business, or one or the other. And then what do they roll it into?
Yeah, when we were looking to buy a building with Island Harvest Food Bank, it took about 2 years till we found the right building. It takes a long time. The market affects the amount of time that it takes to find a building, and then it's got to be the right building, the right feel for the building that offers all the right opportunities.
And you have specific needs,
right,
which are different than the next person, so you got to make sure they can meet them. Plus, you know what your future growth is going to be. So all this has to be factored in. You know, you can't just add a bedroom sometimes with a zoning. You can't add a, you know, warehouse space. So, yes, it takes a very long time to figure out exactly, plus the dollars, plus what's going on in the marketplace and the timing of it, and make sure that you can do what you want to do in these spaces. A lot stricter when you start dealing with commercial, only because of there's so many uses for it.
Yep, it's a lot to think about. This is a great time to fill up your cups with more Pintail coffee. We're taking a brief break, and then we'll come back and talk more with Michael Tucker and Stephen Orlando.
At Pintail Coffee, coffee is their passion, bringing you the perfect cup of coffee every cup, every time. Their strict quality assurance means richer, fuller flavor in every cup. In fact, Pintail's own master roaster is ranked among the top coffee roasters in the country. And Pintail is a Long Island company right here in Farmingdale. And talk about giving back. 100% of their profits goes to Island Harvest to help end hunger on the island. Get Pintail wherever finer coffees are sold, or go to pintailcoffee.com.
I've talked to a lot of people who are interested in buying, selling, and renting. But the first question that people ask is, well, I think I could do it on my own. Why should I hire a broker or a salesperson? They're going to make some money off of it. So if I do it on my own, I'm going to save some money. So, Michael, what do you say to that? Talk a little bit about the benefit of hiring a broker or a salesperson to help with your transaction.
There's a lot of people that look to think they can do these themselves, but there's a lot of nuances. There's the zoning, and then there's the legal, as Stephen was talking about, and you've got all the other professional advice to require making sure that the building either you're buying or selling is right. The environmental issues could come up, and these things need to be protected. So it's kind of penny wise and pound foolish to say you're going to do it. A lot of people do try to do it themselves, and then they come back, or I've seen where more likely, and I'm sure Stephen's run across this too, all of a sudden you get a call and people keep asking you, they call you again, and after a while you realize they're really doing the same thing you're going to do for them, and they're just asking you all the advice to do it.
Right.
But we bring a team of people, as we both do, to the equation, which is actually a benefit if you're buying or selling.
Yeah, I found actually in all aspects, whenever I've purchased, whether it be a home or the business, buying the building, there are a lot of nuances, and there's a timing issue. And so it's so much easier to have the broker to turn to who could really help and guide you on that. Stephen, what would you say from the residential side of it?
From the residential side, a lot of people think, well, hi, my name is Steve. I'm the realtor. This is a bedroom. This is a bathroom. Sign here. Put your offer, and we're going to go to closing. There's, you know, as Michael said, there's a lot more nuances that go into it. How you price the house. How are you going to pre-qualify someone? You're letting strangers just completely into your home. Are you not going to disclose something that's a defect in the house? There's certain ethical issues ethical concerns we have whenever we go into. We always want to make sure, has there been a flood? Has there been, have you had a fire? All those kind of things. Most of the people who do for sale by owners, I think the number is like 85% wind up going to a realtor afterwards.
Right.
Because they have no idea how do they price their house. They could price the house wrong. And what happens is it goes on Zillow or it goes on one of these other sites and everyone sees it. And then after 2 weeks or a month, they decide they're going to hire a realtor. And if they've priced it incorrectly in the beginning, it really creates a problem. Because if they priced it $20,000 higher than what it's worth, and now they want us to get the same number for them or something similar, it's going to be nearly impossible. Plus, are you going to hire a professional photographer to go in, or are you just going to take the pictures on your iPhone 6?
And they wasted a lot of time. Two, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they could have had the house sold. Right.
It is money. And with this market, if a house is on the market for longer than 30 days, everyone looks at it and they say, What's wrong with it?
Right.
What is? Well,
the other thing we do is we act as a buffer. Mm-hmm. So we take the emotion out of the deal. And when someone's doing
Great
it themselves, there's always emotion. I don't care if whether it's commercial or residential. And what we do is actually can analyze these things without the emotional state. And we can give our direct professional opinions. And sometimes that's really what's needed. They can't see it.
You know, I think that's a really good point, and I think it'll help us with the next question that I'm going to pose to you both, because it goes right to taking the emotion out of all the decisions that you need to make. The price of the property, whether it's a house or a building, sometimes can become an emotional issue that you don't want to part with because you think it's worth a lot more because of whatever memories you have. And by the way, the building that we bought was a family owned business that built the building, and so it really was like a part of the family. And so I would say it's a similar issue with a house. And so it really takes the emotion out. But let's talk about pricing. So on the commercial space, you know, how do you make the decision about how to price the property?
So most of it's done through, we use CoStar and LoopNet as our driving force to get comps in the area. But again,
let's just define comps, because not everybody knows what that means, and it's on both residential and commercial side.
Right. So what it does is it does an analytical review of all the properties with your specific requirement in place. The problem there is you really got to understand you can just run numbers and say we're doing an office space, and it'll give you office, retail, restaurant, and everything else, and that doesn't mean they're all the same value. So you really have to look at the numbers, look at what you're looking at, and bring it down to looking at just, say, if it's office space, doing comparable analysis on office space or retail in the area. The other factor we need to factor in is the age of the building. We need to know the condition of the building. And in today's world, we haven't even talked about all the asbestos, environmental. I mean, all these things go into a factor on the age of a building, so they will come up in the negotiation. And then, you know, lastly is there a business involved? Then we're not really business brokers. But if someone's selling their business, there's got to be a value to the business place. We've done a couple recently where it's valued for the real estate, the business is there, and the owner would like something for the business, and then that takes a whole different avenue.
What about on the residential side, about pricing?
On the residential side, I like to just keep it simple. I compare apples to apples. If you are in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath split in East Meadow, we're going to compare 3-bedroom, 2-bath splits in East Meadow.
That's a nice thing.
Yes.
Be that simple.
We try to keep it as simple as possible. Now once you take the style of the house and then the bedrooms, bathrooms are going to be similar, then you kind of drill down more and you look at, okay, what's the condition of this house? And we only go off of houses that are sold, not houses that are in contract, because until they close, it doesn't matter. And we we come up with a price that is going to be comparable to that. A lot of people look at Zestimates and they say, well, Zillow values my house at $650,000. I said, that's great, but Zillow doesn't know you have the same kitchen from 1974.
Right.
Zillow doesn't know that you have the original boiler or the roof hasn't been done. They're just looking at what the other three-bedroom, two-bath splits in East Meadow have gone for, and they come up with their algorithm of how they're going to come up with that number. The sales that we use, the comparable sales that we use, are much, much more accurate than that.
And you've had some good successes. I know that because I've seen some of the houses that you've sold. You know, again, from an emotional perspective, you might want a certain number. That's what you want to receive from the sale. You're not going to list it at that number. Let's say you want to get $700,000 for a house. You know, do you list it at $700,000? Where do you list it?
Everyone's situation is different. My goal is always to get the maximum value out of the house at the optimal amount of time. As we spoke about, the longer a house sits on the market, the less chance you're going to get to yield that value. And a lot of times I'm just brutally honest with people. And I said, I'd love to sell your house for $1 million, but unless someone's going to come in with a bag full of cash, there's going to be a bank involved. And the bank is going to look at these comparables just like I am. So let's list it at a point that I try to list it a little bit under what I think the market value is, because I'd rather come to someone with 4, 5, 6 offers that we can choose versus we price it too high and we have 1 or 2 offers and then we're kind of stuck and we don't really have much to choose from. This way, if offer 1 falls through, you still have offer 2, offer 3, offer 4 to go back. Mm-hmm. It does happen where people, especially if they started looking last March or last April, right around the time of COVID and when the prices really started to look, they've gotten beaten out on houses week after week. So sometimes you have people making offers on 2, 3, 4 houses a weekend because they're desperate to get housing.
Yeah.
So when they get an acceptor offer of 1, they might get an acceptor offers on 2 and, well, they can only buy 1 house. So we have to go to the 2nd, the 3rd, or the 4th offers.
So that's also good information for somebody who might hear that they didn't get the first offer to wait it out because it's possible something could fall through. Let's just talk about it from the commercial side. You've priced it. You have a couple of offers coming through. Could you, Michael, talk a little bit about the process?
Before we get to that also, I wanted to talk about what you were saying about pricing things, because what's happened is that our job is to give our best, truest, honest opinion of a property. Then you have the owner who's got an emotional attachment that thinks it's worth X plus, and we have to put it out at a number that they're going to allow, or basically explain this is where we feel the market is going to be. And yeah, there are times where people come in, there are other brokers come in and then price it hundreds of thousands of dollars more just to get the listing, and invariably it just sits around. So I think it's most important that we're credible and transparent in what we offer it at and say this is where the market is. You want to go a little higher, that's okay, but understand this is where I believe the market price should be on this property. And for us, for multiple offers, what we have the ability to do, I think, is a little bit more fun, as I like to call it, than residential. Does any deal works? We have such creative financing on deals that it's just not a straight mortgage. There's money held back. There's different things that can go on. You know, owners can hold financing. So it's not just the offer itself. It's how are you going to finance it? What does the money side of this deal look like? What are the terms? Is really for us as important as also the price, because we want to move the property.
Okay. I think this is really great information for people to hear. Look, I'd love for our listeners to walk away with some tips on negotiating. Can you just think of 1 or 2 tips, both of you, Michael and Stephen, that you can offer our listeners so that when they walk away today, they're walking into a deal, what's the tip you want them to hear?
Well, I think from either side, one is listen. Stop talking and listen to what the other side has to say so you can figure out what really is their pain point, what really is the most important thing to them. People give you a list of 100 things and you need to figure out what's the most important. And then those are the points you can and can't negotiate. And realize, at least in what we do, there's only one bucket of money. So you can't have it all different ways. So the idea is to say, okay, if this is what you're looking to pay, and you're listening to what someone may want, a quick close as opposed to a higher price, so they may want different terms. You really have to sit and listen and analyze all the terms first and really wonder what the other person's really looking to get.
What do you say?
With negotiating, I find that more buyers just inherently feel like they're getting ripped off and that they're overpaying and that they're going to save thousands of dollars if they go directly through to the listing agent, which isn't always the case. And you also have buyers that think that they're buying it cash and they should be getting some sort of discount. And that's would be true. But if you're a seller and someone's offering you cash or someone's offering you a mortgage and they're going to take it's going to be $40,000 higher, you'd find not many sellers that are willing to leave $40,000 on the table. So the old term cash is king is not always the truth. A lot of times people lowball their offers. And I always stress to my buyers, and my team does that as well, is bid a number that if you get outbid, you're not going to be upset. And I try to break it down to as simple as terms as possible. If you lose a house for over $5,000, that's $20 a month. So for 75 cents a day, you've lost that house. And when people hear that, they think differently. I always tell people, stick with your budget. Don't ever go outside your budget because I'm not paying the mortgage after you sell the house and no one else is. It's going to be your responsibility, but don't lose sight of that I don't want to pay $5,000 more or $10,000 more. If that house is that important to you and this is your dream home, it's $40 a month or $45 a month for every $10,000 you borrow.
Don't stand on principle over amount of money.
I have to agree with you. This whole notion of cash is king, more people are just understanding it really isn't. You got low interest rates. You got everything else going on. So it's not just because you come in with cash doesn't mean you're going to excite this seller.
We're in the incredible studio at the Paramount in Huntington, New York on the new WHLI 104.7 FM and 1100 AM with my very special guests, Stephen Orlando and Michael Tucker, talking about real estate, whether it's commercial or residential. It's a lot of important stuff to talk about and to learn. One last thing on capital gains. Could we just briefly touch that topic? I think this was something important, Michael, that you wanted to talk about.
Only because I've been hearing more and more people worried about, should I sell now? Should I rush to sell this year? They're afraid of the capital gains jumping up. In my personal view, I don't think we move that fast as a country. I don't think the capital gains is going to double next year. So I think it really needs to be, are you ready to sell? Do you want to sell? Are you getting the money you want? And I think you need to worry about other things first rather than, the tax consequences, because at the end of the day, if you got what you want, then what are you worried about? And yes, you should maybe down the line for estate purposes. Again, that's not our licensed purview here. So they should talk to their financial advisor. But before they panic about, is the world going to double by next year, I think they should take everything else into account. I'm seeing a lot of people rushing to sell because of that, or thinking to rush to sell.
Yeah.
Which then puts us in an interesting position of we're already in September.
There's so many interesting and important things to think about in real estate. I grew up with my dad was a broker, so it's a very sensitive soft spot in my heart for people that are in this field. I learned a lot from my dad. I could tell you that he told me right from the beginning, never let them know how much you really like the property, because it will definitely impact your negotiation. And when I was looking at the building that we bought at work, we were wearing masks. But my eyes were popping out of my head when we actually found the building that was the perfect building for us. So I laughed. I was thinking about my dad at that time. In closing, do you both agree with that, though?
It's the best scene in Ghostbusters when he's sitting there negotiating on their new place. And the guy's trying to do a hard negotiation. And he comes sliding down the pole and says, "We got to take it."
Absolutely. I try to stress on my buyers, especially those first-time home buyers that have, they're just excited that they're not going to be living in mom's basement or in a one-bedroom cramped apartment. And you could see how excited they are. And you try to tell them, just relax, take a deep breath. The masks do help, as you pointed out, because people can't really see you. You're grinning from ear to ear. The sellers or an agent can tell if you're in and out of the house within 4 or 5 minutes. Chances are it's not going to be the house for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been in there for 45 minutes and you're standing outside talking for another 25 minutes, they could tell by that. And that's okay.
Right.
As long as you stick with your budget, the sellers are going to take whatever offer is the best for them. And you're going to stick with your terms of what you think is going to be the best offer you can make.
Look, real estate industry is an important industry for everybody. Whether we're renting, buying, or selling, it's important that we are thoughtful about what we're doing, how we approach the move that we're making. And I think that you both brought up some really interesting points today. We could have this conversation for another half hour to an hour, and there'd still be plenty more to talk about. So I want to say thank you to our very special guests, Michael Tucker and Stephen Orlando.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you very much for your wisdom. This has been Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. We're broadcasting on WHLI 104.7 FM and 1100 AM from the studio at the Paramount in Huntington, New York. Special thanks to my producer, Hunter Highwell. We are sponsored today by Pintail Coffee, locally roasted, ground, and packaged right here on Long Island with a pledge to contribute all profits to end hunger on Long Island. If you can't find Pintail Coffee in your retailer, ask them why. Let's talk again next week. You'll hear more great discussions from some very interesting people. In the meantime, let's continue the conversation. Email me your thoughts, comments, and suggestions at randy@whli.com. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with me. We're just having a conversation.